Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Do people around you know that you believe in God?
I believe
in you. Do you guys walk around going,
I believe.
It's so easy to sing it in church, isn't it? I believe in you. And then you go, it's like, through you I can do anything. It's like, do the people around you know that you believe in God? Do they know that you and Jesus are so close? Do they know? Actually, forget that. Forget about them knowing about you. It's not their responsibility to know what you believe. What's our responsibility? It's not about you. Okay, what our responsibility is actually is what Jesus talks about in Luke 19, verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man came to do what? To seek and save the lost. So they shouldn't have to be asking you about what you believe in. But actually, we're the ones that need to be having conversations about what they believe in, about what we believe in. Last week we talked about it's not about you. We talked about humility. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourself. So what is it all about? Who is it actually all about? We know it's about Jesus, but Jesus is about the lost. So where are we at with the lost? What does it mean that people are lost? We've all been there. And sometimes we creep that way. But it's talking about people not believing, people not walking with God, people actually not knowing about God. Do you actually have people around you that do not believe in God? Do you have people around you, maybe family, extended family, maybe your neighbors, people that don't believe in God? How do you know that they don't believe in God? Oh, because they don't go to church? Or the way they live, they do this, they do that. Those are just assumptions. We can make assumptions about what people believe, but actually, do we ask questions? Do we have conversations with people about what they believe? So easy to make assumptions. I do this myself. See, what they believe in, how they live, that's their responsibility. Our responsibility is actually to do what? To share the gospel. This is what it's all about. Our responsibility is to share the gospel. Do you guys agree with that? You and I, we have a responsibility. If Jesus is like, I came to seek and save the lost. This is what I came for. And as we love Jesus, we want to do the same. We want to be about his heart. We're a saved people who love him, who walk with him. So our responsibility is to share the gospel. Romans chapter 10, 14 says these words. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? We all have people around us that don't believe. People that might have walked away from God. People that are struggling in different ways, questions. But they're not going to know about him or get closer to him, get clarity about him unless someone speaks to them. And it's not by chance that they live next door to you, that you bumped into them in the cafe, that they share their secrets with you, their struggles, that they're your work buddy, that you see them at the gym. It's not just, that just happened. God orders the steps of the righteous. And we're righteous, not because of what we do or what we've done, but because He is righteous and He's given us that position as we've said yes to Him. So how will they call on Him if they've never heard, without hearing someone preach? So if we agree that it's our responsibility to share the gospel, how come we struggle with it? How come we don't do it? Is it just me? You guys know me. I struggle with sharing about Jesus outside of these four walls. At times, I'm on it. I'm thinking about it. At times, I don't even think about it. At times, I'm thinking about it, but I'm scared. It's easy in a room like this. Jesus! But out there, if I say, Jesus, they think I'm swearing, right? So why is it that we know that we're to share the gospel, but we don't actually do it? The fear of man. Anyone know about fear of man? Worried about what people are going to think at work? Oh, but you got to be politically correct. I don't want to get fired. Yeah. We use excuses and we get into people's minds what they're thinking. Nah, he's going to say, nah, I don't want to hear about that. We fear what they're going to think. We fear rejection. But actually, when you talk to someone about Jesus, evangelism, one definition of evangelism is that it's just joining in a conversation that the Holy Spirit is already having with them. So we're actually saying, Holy Spirit, I don't want to join in. We're making it about us. We talked about it last week. It's not about you. We need to die to ourselves and say, Lord, what do you want? And then He gives you boldness. He gives you His confidence. And you can share the gospel. He'll give you opportunities. It's not about us. Just the other week, I love to run. You know, I love to run. I'm there running and I see this guy that I usually just see running. Maybe he's walking his dog. Sometimes he's running, but this time he's got a moon boot. I'm like, oh, cool, let me stop. So I'm like, bro, what happened? He's telling me his story, what's happened to him. He's about to go to the doctors. And I can relate because I've been in a moon boot before when you just get a stress fracture from too much running. And so I'm just talking to him about it. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, this could be a good opportunity to just bring God in and pray. Oh, maybe I'll do it the next time I see him. So I've got this whole conversation happening here. He thinks I'm listening to him, but I'm having this conversation. But then three other people rock up that I usually see as I'm running. They're with their dogs, and they're talking to this guy. Oh, hey, how you going with the moon boot, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm on their level. We're talking, I'm like, oh, cool. That day, I find out what his name is. I'm like, oh, now I know his name. I can now be praying for him. I know his name. But I run off and I'm like, oh, I could have actually prayed for him. But why didn't I pray for him? Because those two, three people came. And I was thinking so quick, like, that's not going to work. Like, I need a private space. I don't want to put it on there. But then the Lord's speaking to my heart saying, what an opportunity to just say, hey, Jacob, I really believe in God, and I believe God is able to heal you. And hey, guys, I'm just going to pray for Jacob. Just join me if it's all good. Heavenly Father, I just pray for Jacob that as he goes to this to get this scan, that everything's going to be all good. He's going to be healed, and I just pray for peace as it's freaking out. Lord, bless him in the name of Jesus Christ. Bro, it's so good to see you. I'm going to see you back. I'm sure in a few weeks you'll be running again. And I could have just gone, what an opportunity that I missed. And I don't know what they would have thought. One of the guys that offered to pray for him once last time, it was kind of like, So that's probably all in my head at the time. But I missed that opportunity. I'm like, Lord, help me, help me. God's teaching me through all this because it's his heart that people would be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, See, God gives us other opportunities to share the gospel. He's patient with those that don't know him. He's not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. It's not just for a few of us or a few of them. It's for everyone. And he wants to use you and I to share the good news for all to reach repentance, to reach that place where they have a change of mind. They go, I don't want to do life by myself. I don't want to do life this way. I need my creator. I need the savior. So our responsibility is to share the gospel. This is God's heart. So why is it that we know that, but yet we don't focus on it? We don't have it at the forefront of our minds. One of the reasons could be that we actually don't know how to share the gospel. We freak out about it. We complicate it. And we would love to, you know, over the next few weeks, share more about how do you share the gospel or what is the gospel? It's our responsibility to share the gospel. How do you share the gospel? It's got to start with prayer. Pray, Lord, I know your heart. You saved me. This is not just for me. You guide me every day. Lord, I want others to have what you have for them. So, Lord, would you help me? When's the last time you prayed a prayer like that? Lord, I want to share the gospel with someone every day. Lord, just one. Imagine if you could share the gospel with one person a day. Is that too much, you reckon? You see, it can sound like too much. But if you pray for it, you're around people all the time, he will give you an opportunity. And it's not always just going straight, bang, this is the gospel. It's just sharing from your own life. I was at church yesterday, then stuff starts, or you're sharing about struggles. You know, we were talking to a couple recently through our kids' school. We're just talking about date night, having a date night. And that led into so much talk about the Holy Spirit, about God. These are people that are not walking with God. So you just let people into your lives and you're speaking about their lives and you don't put the God thing to the side. God just gets in there. He gets in there. He just consumes our conversation and we get out of the way. So we start by praying, and God actually gives you boldness to share the gospel. I've seen it. I've told you the story about the sauna. I saw someone get saved in the sauna. God makes it happen. Yeah. Start with prayer. Lord, who can I share with today? I'm telling you, if you pray that prayer, I dare you, do it. You'll be there going, oh, Lord, do you really want me to talk to that person about you? Because then you're aligned with his heart. He starts to give you words of encouragement for people. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to freak them out. Freak them out. It's all good. You think they're freaking out, but God's actually showing them love. Some people have actually asked him for a sign. Lord, if you're real, bring someone to talk to me about you. Yeah. So we limit God. So pray that Lord would show you who to speak to about him. If you ask him, he gives you the opportunities. He gives you the boldness. Just last week, I was down the road at a bike shop getting the boys' bikes fixed. And I see this guy who's helping me fix the bike who works there. He's got a scar on his head. And I'm thinking, man, I wonder what's happened there. We get talking. He tells me he's had 3 surgeries from you know, growing up with epilepsy. So we're chatting. This guy's got the best heart. You think he's a Christian? We're just having a good chat. He's telling me that a lot of the people in the bike shop are volunteers. He's like, you can even volunteer, man, if you want. I'm like, oh, really? I work just up the road. He's like, yeah, man. Like, whatever. A lot of these guys are volunteers. Whatever you can do, a few hours. I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, this is cool. I can come and volunteer and slowly build relationship and bring Jesus. I'm not going to tell him I'm a pastor now. I'm thinking that. But we keep chatting. And I'm just like, he's telling me how God's, not God, he didn't say that. He's telling me how he's now so much better and he can do what he's doing after 3 surgeries and just some of the crazy stuff that used to happen in his life. And just telling me a lot of information. And I just said to him, man, I would say praise the Lord to that. And he's like, yeah, man, I've always thought there's someone looking out for me. I'm like, okay, we're getting somewhere here. But I'm like, there's so many other people fixing bikes listening to this. I don't want that. Fear of man. And then they even turned the music off, the background. I'm like, oh, Lord, what are you doing? You know, I just get to this point. I just say to this guy, hey, man, like, have you actually ever I just say, where are you at with the Jesus thing? And before that, I told him I'm a pastor, priest. This is what he thought it was. But I say, where are you at with the Jesus thing? He goes, oh, yeah, I used to have these mates. I used to play basketball with the Christians. And we went on a trip and met other Christians. But they never really pushed it on me. So I'm thinking, oh, cool. So you must know some stuff. Then at one moment, I said, all right, so tell me this. Do you know the gospel? Do you know what the good news is? He's like, nah, I'm an atheist. And he told me that before too. But he goes, he doesn't really know what the good news is. Like, that's one thing you can do. Just say to people, have you heard the good news? They're kind of freaking like, the good news? And then you lay it on them. You tell them what the good news is. So I start to tell them straight from Genesis. Probably took me about 3 or 4 minutes. I'm just telling them. But I was getting all Aussie in there. I'm like, man. And then like, these guys were like butt naked. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. And they were all good. But then when they ate the fruit, they realized they were naked, and then they were hiding from God. God comes in the garden and is like, Adam, where you at? Why are you hiding? And they're like, how does he know we're hiding? He goes, man, I didn't know any of that. I didn't know that they realized that, all that. So he's learning some new things. And I just tell him the whole thing. And you could just tell he was just listening, fixing the bike, listening. And he's just open. I didn't pray for him. I didn't say, man, are you going to give your life to God? I didn't feel led to do that. But what I knew was happening as the Spirit was leading me is that seeds are being planted. Seeds are being planted. He's hearing the gospel. When people hear the gospel, that does something to them. And I don't know what else is going to happen with him. I'll probably see him again. But I know God's doing a work in him. So we got to just be led by God and share the gospel because it's our responsibility. You know, you can ask someone, do you have a faith? Do you know, people actually believe in things. Just say, do you have a faith? Do you have a belief? People think we're religious. I don't see it as religion. I see it as a way of life, relationship. But there's nothing wrong with saying to them, do you have a religion? That just starts the conversation. Something will start there. Yeah. You know, I have these conversations when I go in my running club. They'll either just shut you up or the thing will continue on. Ask them that conversation starts. I heard recently one of the things you can say is, hey, out of a scale of 1 to 10, do you think you're going to go to heaven when you die? How confident are you? Up to 10 or down to 1? That can start a conversation. And most people that don't believe might be like, yeah, maybe 6. Maybe 7, or whatever they say. And then you can say to them, well, when you get there, if God says to you, why should I let you in? What will you say? Just imagine that conversation. What are people going to say? Why should I let you in? Oh, you know, I grew up in a Christian family. Oh, I'm a good person. Or they just go, oh, that's a really good question. So you're having conversation. This is what it's all about. Just having conversations with people about God. And through all of that, a moment will come where you can actually say, let me tell you that Jesus actually made a way. We've all been separated from God by sin. God is holy. Man is a sinner. We're all sinners. We all fall short of his glory. But actually, God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to live and love. He loved us. He demonstrated a relationship with God the Father. But there was always, and I remember talking to this guy in the shop about sacrifices and animals and the blood and death. It was getting real, you know, gory. But you tell them, there's always been sacrifices. Look at history. But when Jesus came, he was the final sacrifice. He paid a price for you and me, for everyone. He loves us so much. He died But then after 3 days, he goes, yeah, he rose again. I'm talking, he goes, I say, do you know what happened after 3 days? He goes, yeah, he rises. He's an atheist, but he knows some of this stuff. And we're having conversation. You know, you tell them that stuff. He rose again. And the good news is that he can live in you right now if you believe that he is God. If you believe that he raised Jesus from the dead, he will come into your life. And he is coming back, but he gives us the Holy Spirit as we say yes. I challenge you this week, sit down and just on a page write down how you'd explain the gospel to someone. Record yourself if you have to. Practice it. But don't get so caught up on that. Let the Spirit lead you. But people will welcome a chat about heaven and hell. Everyone's going to die. We're all going to die. And then I did ask him, what happens when you die? He goes, yeah. That's the interesting part, isn't it? He had no answer for me after that. And but I'm going to continue to pray for him. This is the responsibility that we have to share the gospel. All of us are called to preach to the one. You and I are called to preach to the one. How are they going to hear? How are they going to know about God? There's people that God has put in your life that you might be the only person who's ever going to tell them about Jesus. So many people don't know about him. They don't have the right picture of him. And he's chosen you and I to represent him. To show his love by how we live. To the point that people will ask questions. But we can't just wait for the questions. He will give you the right questions to ask. You ask him, Lord, give me a word of wisdom, a word of prophecy for someone. He will give it to you. Just trust him. You might only have a little snippet, but as you start to speak to that person or pray for them, he just gives you more. That's one of the things most people won't say no to is, can I pray for you? If you've never asked someone, can I pray for you? I encourage you, ask, can I pray for you? It's easy to say, I'm going to be praying for you this week. But if you actually say, can I pray for you right now? Most of you know what happens. Some are like, okay, yeah, what do you want me to do? I'm like, bro, you can close your eyes or you can just keep them open. It's all good. And sometimes they're actually like this. They're just ready to receive. And it's like, well, this is awesome. This person is so open. See, people are open. But most of the time, we're not open. We're open in church. I'm open in church. But you take me out there, it takes a lot for me to open. But God is doing a work in me that it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be hard. Just ask him. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So we're all on level ground. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor, a leader, a child. The enemy is going to throw darts at you that you don't share what you believe in, who you are. But as you do, God's so faithful that he comes in and he gives you the words. So all of us are called to preach, to reach to the one, to see the one, to love the one. And as we've been telling you over the last few weeks, we're actually going to be running Alpha. And Alpha is a series that's all about exploring the meaning of life. It's all about going through some of life's biggest questions. Alpha's run in pubs, and it's run in schools, it's run in churches, it's run in homes. And it's such a great way to just get people around, non-believers, into an environment where they feel safe, where they can have questions answered or just discuss things. Questions like, who is Jesus? Questions like, how can God guide me? It's all about exploring the meaning of life. Does God heal today? How can I resist the devil? You know, there's many questions that you go through by doing Alpha, and it's such a great opportunity for us as church, as believers, to actually invite people who don't believe in God, or maybe you know they're so close, they've got questions. You know, it's in a non-threatening environment. It's not a church service. There's food involved. It involves a short video. It involves a discussion. where you actually get to talk. So we're going to be having Alpha at the end of February. So I encourage you guys to be thinking, I know you've already been thinking, who can I invite to Alpha? If you haven't done Alpha, please come. But don't come by yourself, bring someone else. If you've done Alpha before, pray, who can I invite and bring them with you? Before I tell you more about Alpha, I actually want to invite two of my friends to come up for a few minutes to share with us a bit about their Alpha experience. So let's give a hand to Shelley and Sean as they come up. So Shelley and Sean, these guys, Shelley loves Alpha. She was telling me that she's the alpha female. She's like, they're talking about the alpha male, but I'm the alpha female because she just loves Alpha. So you guys, get close to me. Sean, good to see you, man. Good to see you, bro. Tell me, Shelley, when did you do your first Alpha and why did you do it?
So our three children, we just went through the process of getting them christened. It was a ticking a box. We didn't have a faith, Peter and I, but it was just the thing we did. And our third child, our daughter, Amelia, was about to be christened. So I went to the local church and I asked when we could have a christening with godparents, etc. And the Anglican priest suggested that the church is running a course called Alpha, and it's a place that an introduction to Christianity. So it was now 20-something years ago, and my memory of it was I wasn't seeking, like I wasn't really interested, but I thought, oh, if I have any questions about Christianity, if I ask a Christian, I would feel really silly. And if I ask a non-Christian, well, they wouldn't know, so who do I ask? So when he said, do you want to come on this 10-week course? I had three children, left them home with Peter, and I consistently went on that course. So I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Oh,
great, great, great. When did you do Alpha? How many times have you done it and why did you do it?
Done it once.
Great.
I think it was around this
time. That was only last year. Yep.
I did it because someone twisted my arm and made me do it.
That twist people's arms, guys.
And yeah, I was reluctant to do it because I'd been told it was all basic sort of knowledge of Christianity, and I thought, oh, I'm above this. And
yeah, because you've been a Christian for a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not basics; it's like it's foundation.
So good.
It was really good to get into that and actually build your house on the rock. So,
solid rock.
Yeah, I got
a lot out of it.
100%.
What are maybe a couple, just two things that you got out of doing Alpha?
I guess I'd sort of been running from the fact that there's nothing I can do to sort of undo the things I've done in my past. And then I don't need to, because Jesus did, he covered that for me. So, yeah.
Come on. Wow. That's really good. Jesus has covered it. Nice one. Anything else from Alpha? Maybe think about some of the topics. What was one of your favorite, you know, sessions and why? Get you thinking. Whilst you're thinking, I'll go back. Whilst you're thinking, I'll go back to Shelley. So Shelley, 20 years ago, you did Alpha. How many Alphas have you done since then?
Well, hold on. Can I finish?
Hold on. Go for it.
So... this is my testimony. So for 10 weeks, I did Alpha, and everybody in the group, my understanding was they were all Christians and I was the only non-Christian. And I sat there figuratively with my arms crossed for the whole 10 weeks. And it was an opportunity to ask questions, and they were genuine questions. And I'm like, oh, what about this? And what about that? And the videos explained Christianity, 15, 20 minutes. And then we had a time of discussion, and I genuinely had questions, and it was a really safe place to bring my questions. And at the end of the 10 weeks, I thought, well, that was great, moved on. And what I believe is God laid me on my back for 3 days in pain, so I digested the course. I would have just kept going. And it was like God said, no, hold on, stop. And in those 3 days, I mean, I believe this. Yeah. And it was the beginning of my Christian journey. So I rang up one of the ladies on the course and I said, I've become a Christian. Wow. And she said, praise God. And I thought, what's he got to do with it? That's how basic I was. Like, what?
Wow.
And then Peter, my husband, came on the next course and became a Christian on that course too. So, and how many I've done? Well, I'm very passionate about it because I just love that it's a really gentle space for people to grow in their faith. Mm. And so I've been part of hosting and helping on, I don't know how many courses.
You've lost count.
But each time I do it, I get something from it because it's like, oh, that really makes sense or cements what I know. So.
That's great, Shelley. Thank you so much for sharing the alpha female. Yeah, so tell me, what topic did you, which week was one of your favourites and why?
I can't actually put my thumb on any particular topic. I think one thing that really stood out was how much of a safe space it is.
Yeah.
Just really welcoming, really comfortable. Like, I didn't want to go home. Yeah. I just wanted to stay and just chat and have
just
coffees.
Hang out.
And, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. No, it was good. Safe space, 100%. Yeah.
It's been great seeing just what that did on your journey and then seeing you in life group post that. It's just, yeah, it's awesome. So, Alan, thanks for twisting his arm. What would you say, Sean, to someone who's considering doing Alpha, but maybe he's like, oh, should I do it? Should I not?
What do you have to lose?
What do you have to lose? Just do it. What about you, Shelley? What would you say to anyone that's considering inviting people, doing it?
Yep. Well, I love your honesty. Thank you for how hard it is to share your faith at times. So at least with inviting someone to Alpha, it's just one question. Would you like to come on a course? And it's hard, but it's really in that way simple. I'd also add that the way we're running at this time is really exciting, that we're just doing the first session on Sunday afternoon, straight after church on the 22nd of February.
That's it, you got it? Yep.
Yep. So even if you're thinking about doing it or bringing someone, you could, I mean, we prefer you did the whole 6 weeks because then you get the whole content and there's so much in it. But even if you just think, I'll come and try it, or bring someone for the first one with the idea of hopefully continuing on. But you can taste and see. And even if you don't do it that course, then you'll know what you're inviting people to do to or what you make sign up for next time. So, yeah.
Awesome. Shelley's going to be around up here at the end of the service. Please, if you're interested in help, we need helpers, people to help with facilitating discussion, people to help with cooking, people to just actually help. And also, if you want to do it or you want to invite anyone, you want any more information, please come and see Shelley after the service. You guys, thank you so much. Give them a hand as they go. So, whilst you're sitting where you are, we all have an opportunity to share the gospel. Every day, every week. But we also have an opportunity in February and March to actually be part of Alpha. So whilst you're sitting where you are right now, I'll just encourage you to just ask the Lord, who can I invite to Alpha in 2026? Who in my life can I actually invite to Alpha? There's on each seat, there's a little card that's got a QR code in it that takes you to the form where you can register for Alpha. I encourage you to, as you're praying, as you're asking God, He'll put a name. Lord, who do you want me to invite? Maybe you can't go to it, but you can invite someone. Write that name down. Get your phone out. Write it in on your notebook. I encourage you in this moment. I'm asking myself the same question. And then actually step out today, this week, and invite that person. Give them the card. Send them the link to it. And actually say, I'll come with you. This is an opportunity we have. Can we all stand? it's not about us. It's not about you. It's about what God's heart is, and his heart is for people. For us, for people that don't know him, and he wants to use all of us. Can you just get into groups of two or three right now and actually share with the people in those groups about someone you're going to invite to Alpha and someone that you're going to share the gospel with, or you want to share the gospel with. There's people in our lives. You know, you look through the contacts in your phone, I tell you, if you look through the contacts right now, there'll be some like, I can share the gospel with that person. I need to step out.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.